Not too long ago, as I introduced the sermon, I introduced it with these words. Have you ever been told, stop acting like a child? I don't know if you remember that sermon, but I preached a sermon about growing in Christ. And I said, how many of you have ever been said, stop acting like a child? Or you're acting like a child. We may have all been told that at one time or another. But this morning, from the Word of God, I want to say something different. Start acting like a baby. Start acting like a baby. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As we read this passage of Scripture, as we look every Sunday at a different passage of Scripture, the question to always ask is, why did God inspire the writer of Scripture to write this at this point and to say this to us? What does he want us to do? How are we to learn? All Scripture is profitable to us for correction and for instruction, training in righteousness. The Word of God, every jot and tittle is there and will not pass away till it's all fulfilled. So we look at it and we say, why did God inspire Peter to say this at this time? As we're working through 1 Peter, you remember as we began, Peter speaking to Christians scattered all over the world, the known world, and saying to them, you're out there, you're lonely, you feel like God doesn't know where you are. God does know where you are. You're chosen. He foreknew you before the world was created, and he's given you his Spirit. And he said, you have a hope that's alive because of Christ's resurrection. And you're going to have to suffer. But think about your suffering. There's laid up for you this treasure in heaven that is greater than any precious metal or jewel in the world. And God is taking you to that, and your sufferings are part of that. And in the midst of those sufferings, you love him. And that's a proof that you know him, that you can love him as you suffer. He said to them that you have a salvation that is so wonderful, the prophets of the Old Testament, and the angels marvel at it. And so you ought to marvel at it. And he tells them that they are holy, and that they are to live in a holy manner. He tells them that there's a judgment coming that's impartial, that God will judge them, and therefore they need to be concerned about how they live, but they also need to take comfort in the fact that that judgment is going to be by a judge who is fair and who has judged his son for their sins. And then he says to them, because of all of this, love one another sincerely. Saying all that, then he gets to the point where he says, now start acting like babies. Why does he say that? Well, as we look at this, I believe that there are two things that we need to emphasize very simply. Be childlike, but not childish towards sin and God's word. We're to be childlike, but not childish. When he talks about being babies, he's talking about being babies in a specific way, but the scriptures also say, don't be babies like this. And so I want to differentiate that as we look at this passage. We're going to see two ways that we are to act like babies, and then under each of those two points, we're going to qualify it to say there's also a way that we shouldn't act like babies concerning sin or concerning the Word. So, act like a baby in your conduct. Act like a baby towards sin. He begins by saying, rid yourself of these terrible sins. Okay? Rid yourself of malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander of every kind. He's talked about them. He said you need to be holy. You need to love your fellow Christians. Someone who loves his fellow Christians isn't going to do these sins because these sins involve brothers and sisters in Christ. So therefore, be like a baby as you approach sin. Now, you might say, if you've raised any babies, as Linda and I have, wait a minute. Aren't babies selfish and self-centered? They want what they want, and they want it now. And that's true about babies. So one of the things as we interpret the scriptures, and the scriptures say, be like babies or be like children, don't be like babies, don't be like children, we always have to make those distinctions. The point here is not dealing with the fact that babies are sinful and sinful and self-centered, so therefore be like babies. It would contradict what he's saying in verse 1. But I'm thinking about the fact that in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 20, the Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthians, and he writes to them who are being very selfish and self-centered concerning the gifts of the Spirit, concerning their concept that they have this great wisdom and they're looking down on other Christians. He writes to them and he says to them, stop thinking like children. You know, in a sense he's saying, stop being like a child, right? But then he says this, in regards to evil, be infants. In regards to evil, be infants. When Peter begins this second chapter, he says, malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander. These are those sins that are big time in the world. These are the sins which before we knew Christ, we just entered into. They were part of our lives. I mean, you think of this time of an election coming up on Tuesday. For the last month or so, all you get are these political ads on TV. And what are they all about? Deceit and slander. Hypocrisy. You know, everybody putting himself, my opponent is a man who has no integrity. He's a man who's this, he's a man who's that. But vote for me because I'm a man of integrity. And you think about this sometimes. And what do we know about these people really? And how often we're shocked as the truth comes out about them. You know, that's the world. And Paul says to these Corinthians, you live in this world, but when it comes to the things of the world and the ways of the world, be infants. What does he mean? I think what he means is that you need to strive to be inexperienced in evil and the things of the world. Remember in Matthew 10:16, Jesus said this, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. And I believe what he's saying to us is that as we think about sin, we need to take that sort of baby-like approach to be innocent about evil, like babies. Babies are ignorant of all the nuances of evil. They haven't grown up enough to understand those things. And he's saying, sort of take that type of approach to life. You know, a lot of times we think that, you know, our children need to be really wise in the ways of the world. So I remember one time at a Christian school where they wanted to educate the kids, and they were showing some videos about the sexuality of the world. And I remember parents, you know, coming to me about it and saying, what do you think? It was exposing them to things that they don't have to know about to know what God's Word says. You know, we're always trying to strike a balance with that. But we have to be careful in exposing our children to the evils of the world where it gets to the point where it becomes temptation for them. You know, I will be honest about you. Growing up in a bar room is an education in evil. I was 9 years old when my grandmother had a heart attack. She was running my grandfather's bar. He died of a heart attack when I was 2 years old. She ran the bar from then with my uncles. We lived next door. 1955, my grandmother had a heart attack. My father decided we'll take over the business. We moved from our house into the hotel, and my grandmother moved into our house, and there we were. Now, I was over there all the time. In fact, about once a week, all my cousins, we'd all come over. We were just, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old. They'd put us all around a big table. We'd all get a little glass of beer, and we'd sit around and drink beer. My grandmother said, you know, they wanted us to learn to drink it when we were young so that, you know, we didn't grow up and have a problem with it. And yet, all of my uncles and most of my cousins had a drinking problem, you know. But I think about that, then moving next door and living right in the midst of it. The things I saw, the things I heard, the things that went on right in our lives gave me an education in evil. The things I heard the men talking about, the things on Friday and Saturday night when the men and women were there and everybody really got loaded and you'd hear the singing and the talking. When I'd be up there doing my work, filling the beer cooler or doing this, I'd hear the men talking and then what I saw going on, even at night, with some of our roomers who rented rooms and, you know, women coming in and everything. And I grew up and I had this education in evil. And it set me up to be tempted in greater ways than I would be tempted if I hadn't been exposed to that. And I think that in a sense, what the scriptures are telling us is that we do not need an education in all the nuances of evil to resist it. In fact, getting that kind of education can open us up to it. And you think about some of the shows that are on television and some of the movies and what is on the internet, specifically with pornography, but even more than that, it exposes you to all of the evils of verse 1 and worse, but it does it in color. It does it in high definition, and eventually it's going to do it in three dimension. And we are exposed constantly to evils which you know, we don't have to deal with. They aren't in our world, but they're brought right into our lives. And people are tempted by that, and people are struggling with temptations that they don't have to struggle with if they wouldn't be exposed to that. There's a way to be wise concerning the world. Jesus said what? Be wise as a serpent. But be gentle as a dove. Be like children toward evil. And I think that the scriptures tell us that the first way that we have to act like a baby is to act like a baby toward the sinfulness and wickedness of this world. We want to be innocent to a certain degree about it. We don't have to know all about it and get all that education. You know, one of the great myths is that a couple should live together so that they can experience sexuality and everything else so that they know that they're prepared for marriage. Now, that contradicts what God says. God says that's fornication if it's before marriage. So either God is right or the world is right. And quite frankly, living together has created havoc upon marriage in this country, and the women are the losers. So, you know, getting an education in evil, tasting things that you shouldn't have, but the world says is okay, only leads to destruction. And so therefore, act like a baby in your conduct towards sin. However, let's have the corrective. Don't act like a baby by staying immature in your faith. In verse 2, look what he says, like newborn babes crave spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. You don't grow up in the knowledge of the wickedness and ways of the world, but grow up in your salvation. Because you can take the position, well, I'm just going to stay immature. I'm going to stay like a Christian baby. That's the way I want to be. It's innocent, and you know, that'll please God, and I'll have a very happy Christian life. And that's not the way it works. We should not be immature. We have to be growing. And I think this, just reading several scriptures will say that to us. 1 Corinthians 3, Paul says this, "Brothers, I can't address you as spiritual but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk and not solid food because you weren't ready for it. Indeed, you're still not ready. You are still worldly. There is jealousy and quarreling. Are you not worthy, worldly, and aren't you acting like mere men, like men who haven't been born again of the Spirit?" He says to the Corinthians, grow up. You live in the most wicked city. You got an education in evil all around. You start acting like children toward that world. But grow up in Christ. Grow up in the things of God. Grow up in the fruit of the Spirit. Paul says in Ephesians, God gave prophets, apostles, evangelists, and he gave pastors and teachers to prepare you for the works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Until we reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, and he says this, and become mature. attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, and then you'll no longer be infants. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow up in all things into Him who is the head. But Paul writes to the Ephesians and he says, God has given you pastors and teachers in the Word so that you grow in the things of God and less in the things of the world. And then in Hebrews 6:1, therefore let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God and baptisms. He's saying there's nothing the matter with those doctrines, but they're foundational doctrines. Grow in your faith. Don't take this position that I'm going to just be baby-like in my faith and only know the salvation, and that's all we're going to preach every Sunday is John 3:16, and then we will really be spiritual. He says, no, that's not the way you're supposed to be baby-like. You're to be baby-like in your understanding and exposure and experiencing of the wickedness of the world. Stay away from it. Avoid even the appearance of evil. But in your faith, grow into maturity. So act like a baby towards sin. But then he goes on to say, act like a baby in your desire for God's word. Like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk. Desire the word of God like babies desire milk. How does a baby act toward mother's milk? Many times a day that baby's going to cry out. That baby wants that nourishment. And he's saying to you, you're newborn in Christ. As he's speaking perhaps to new Christians. And he's saying one of the evidences of being born as a baby is desiring mother's milk regularly, passionately, and now as a believer, you're going to desire God's word in the same way. It's a mark of being a believer. If you're indifferent to the word of God, that's a danger sign that you may not be alive to God. Have you ever seen a new believer, somebody who gets saved? And it could be somebody who's raised in a Christian home, it could be somebody who was raised like I was. And what are they doing? They're walking around carrying a Bible. And not just a Bible, but a big Bible, you know. Big Bible, they're walking around, they're reading it all the time, and they're talking about it, and they're pushing it in people's faces, the Bible, the Bible, the Bible, the Bible, and then finally one day, they get to be mature Christians. And now they don't carry their Bibles, they don't talk about it too much. Well, does that mean that they're mature? Well, the one way that we should never grow up is in our desire for the Word of God. Job puts it this way. I have not gone back from the commandments of his lips. Job 23:12. I have esteemed the word of his mouth more than my necessary food. He's saying that not just like milk, but even more important than milk, more important than food is the word of God to me. If they had to take one or the other from me, take away food. I'll starve to death believing in the word of God. Jeremiah says this, your words were found and I ate them. And your words were to me a joy and a rejoicing to my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. Craving the word as a baby. If you don't, you'll suffer that failure to thrive, right? Anybody remember that with the Ezo movement? And part of the Ezo movement had to do with nursing schedules. And they imposed a rigorous discipline on every believer that was the exact same for every family. And one of it was teaching your children, teaching the babies to nurse according to your schedule and not theirs. And so every mother was told, you don't get nurse your babies on demand. You set a schedule and that's when you nurse them. And it was across the board for everybody with every baby. And then there were reports of them going to the doctor and the babies being diagnosed with failure to thrive. And so there was a real movement along to not go to the doctors and to keep this a secret because this was such a biblical doctrine. Failure to thrive because there were babies that needed to be nursed more than other babies, and you can't set that from the outside. That's just decreed by who the child is. Every baby's different. And there's a failure to thrive if the baby doesn't get the milk when it needs it, and there'll be a failure for us to thrive if we don't have the Word of God when we need it. And when do we need it? We need it like newborn babies. Now, that might be every 2 hours, and that might be every 4 hours according to another schedule, but what does God say like newborn babies? What baby thrives that is nursed once a week? What baby thrives that's nursed once a day? And then we ask ourselves, if I'm going to be like a newborn babe desiring the work of God, how often do I read it? How much do I read it? How much is it a part of my life? And I'll tell you what, we speak to everybody in this regard, don't we, about our desire to read the Word of God. Our schedules can push it out. But it says if you want to grow up in your salvation, you need to be feeding upon the Word of God regularly, constantly. Edmund Clowney put it this way, true believers need to be addicted to the Word of God. It's an addiction. We have to read it. We open it up constantly and read it, exposing ourselves to the things of God. Now, that said, we're to act like a baby in our desire for the Word of God, but there's that corrective again. Don't act like a baby in understanding the Word of God, in interpreting the Word of God. We're to act like a baby in desiring it, but we're to grow up into adults in understanding and interpreting it. Don't be simplistic and immature in your interpretation and application of the Word of God. Like a baby. I don't know if anybody saw the movie Look Who's Talking. But it was about a baby and the world's perspective from the baby. And it was Bruce Willis, I think it was his voice, and this couple had this baby, but the baby was observing the world. And it was funny because the baby was always misunderstanding what the parents were doing because the baby was seeing their world from his perspective. I remember years ago in Mad Magazine, I used to subscribe, actually I didn't subscribe, I'd go to Dundar's Drugstore, I knew the day it would come, and I'd get Mad Magazine, and it was my favorite magazine as a kid. And they did one time, it was basically life in the eyes of a baby, and it was hilarious. But the baby, you'd see the pictures, and I remember one was like, it was the baby's birthday, and they all got around, and they were all singing, and you know, and he had names for them, cigar breath and lip, just looking at the kids. But he was talking about how they all got together and they sang this silly song and everything. And then the baby said, I hope they don't have these spells too often. You know, the baby's perspective was there's something the matter with them. He doesn't understand. Yeah, that's how a baby doesn't interpret things properly. They interpret it from their little world. And their simplistic, naive approach to the Word of God that works toward the world, in a sense, to keep you from being exposed to temptation, but not the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 14:20, this verse again, brothers, stop thinking like children. In regards to evil, be infants. But then he says, but in your thinking, be adults. Steve mentioned the Reformation. Sola Scriptura. The Scriptures alone was one of the doctrines for which the Reformers were willing to die. But it was not only the Scriptures alone, but Luther and Calvin and others were saying the Scriptures alone properly interpreted is what we need. I mean, the Roman Church had the Scriptures, but they interpreted them wrongly, and they came to the interpretation that the Church was over the Scriptures, the Church would interpret them, the Church could add to them. Thank God for the Reformers that have given to us the word of God and the Word of God properly interpreted. And that's what we have to be careful of. What did the writer to Hebrews say in Hebrews 5:11-6? He wrote to them and he said to them, the problem with you is you're slow to learn. You ought to be teachers, but I have to give you milk. You should be eating solid food. So if you live on milk, you're still an infant. You're not acquainted with these teachings about righteousness. Solid food's for the mature. And he says to them, shame on you. You should be able to interpret and understand the word in a mature fashion. In Ephesians 4, the passage I read about the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and the pastors and teachers helping us to grow, he says, then you'll no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching. That's interpreting the Bible like a baby. Hunger for it like a baby, but interpret it like an adult. And in some circles, it's a badge of spirituality to interpret the scriptures off the top of your head. You know, I remember when my daughter was going to Penn State, she called me very upset. She said, I went to a retreat a while back, and there's, you know, many, many campus Christian campus groups at Penn State. Said, we went to this retreat, and they sort of pulled all of the groups together for this one big retreat, and they had this speaker. And she said her roommate has been sick and has been unable to study and has been missing class and just doesn't feel well. And I said, what's going on? She said, well, they had this speaker at the retreat. And he was like a business type of guy. He was one of those guys who had this, that all Christians should only work for themselves in these home businesses. And he talked about living life to the fullest and the principles that should be used to do that. And she said he talked a lot about owning your own business and being healthy and taking care of your body. And then he went to this passage in Hebrews about milk and meat. And he said, you see what the scriptures say? The scriptures say that you shouldn't be taking milk, you should be taking meat. And he said, we are the only species that drinks the milk of another species. And that's one of the reasons we have all these health problems. So in my family, we don't drink milk, and we don't get any colds, and we're much more healthy, and we don't feel tired. My daughter said, everybody came home and there's this big movement on the cancer that none of these Christian kids were drinking milk anymore. And her roommate got very sick and finally went to the clinic and everything. The doctor talked to her and the doctor said to her, you need protein and you've been getting it from milk. Your pattern of life, you need milk. When I was a borrowed elder at another church, they were interviewing people for the pastorate. And this pastor comes, and he tells us that he had been at Penn State as a campus worker, and he's candidating for this church. And I said, you know, the funniest thing happened to my daughter, and, you know, one of the things that concerns me about campus movements, I told him this story, and he got beet red. And it turned out that he was one of the guys that got the speaker. And then he began to try and explain, yes, but, yeah, and you know what? He wasn't called to that church because these elders came to the conclusion that that is an immature way to approach the scriptures, and it's dangerous. And it doesn't lead to growth. It leads to pride, and it leads to a lack of growth. You know, just last week, at the end of one of the baseball games where one of the teams won the pennant, they interviewed one of the athletes. Now, this is a guy who I've been very excited about. He is a talented baseball player who fell out, got into drugs, into the cocaine culture, and the Lord saved him, and he came back to baseball, and the guy's phenomenal, a phenomenal hitter, phenomenal baseball player, and a phenomenal outspoken witness for the gospel. So he had an opportunity to be interviewed after the game because he was the MVP of the pennant race for that division. And somebody said to him, and he just praising the Lord and sharing the gospel, and he had his little daughter there with him, and then